Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
You are listening to a Hillbilly Horror Stories classic episode.
All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 24, 23?
I think it's 24.
Episode 24 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. Kind of excited about this one tonight because we've been having a lot of people ask about doing this, and we actually started to do it at one point in time, and we turned it into just an Exorcist episode instead.
Yeah, and so, that music, that entry music there kind of is,
Just so you guys, just so you guys know, just because we say we're going to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to do it, because my mind changes like the wind.
It sure does.
And I don't know how wind changes. I don't know how the hell that saying comes. Is that even a saying?
Well, I mean, somebody blew the wind and it decided to go another way, so.
Okay, I don't know if that's fact or not. You know, right around the beginning of the year, everybody makes changes and for the good and for the bad, and they'll make resolutions and what have you. We did something kind of cool. We did the hall pass thing. Have you guys heard of that? It's where you each pick three people that if you get a chance to, we'll say sleep with or get with or whatever the young kids are saying these days, that you get a hall pass. You know, if you get a chance to sleep with those three people, go ahead. You got the blessing of the other person.
Hey.
And Tracy, who was it you put on your list?
Bradley Cooper would be all right with me. I could get down with that. Matthew McConaughey, and then George Clooney. He's pretty nice looking. You know, a little older than me, but yeah, I could go for that. And you would let me?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But the thing of it is, she got pissed off because my list had the two next door neighbors and the babysitter.
I mean, no.
I mean, it's not my fault that my goals are a lot more obtainable than hers.
Well, we could talk about that later, I guess.
Now, this doesn't have anything to do with the occult, and some nights it will, some nights it won't. But I thought it'd be kind of cool to do some music. Did you know? I'm a music freak, and
he's just a freak
in general. So I thought I would just throw some stuff at you. So this was kind of cool, and Tracy doesn't know the answers to this, so I'll ask her.
Oh Lord, I'm about to flunk a test.
Probably. John Lennon listed his 18 songs of the Beatles that he absolutely hated. What do you think was number one on that list?
Shake it up, baby, now. Shake it up, baby.
No.
Twist and shout.
That would be wrong.
Oh, sorry. Dang it.
Believe it or not, Let It Be.
No, why?
He said Let It Be had nothing to do with the Beatles. He don't know what Paul was thinking when he wrote it. That's more like a wing song, but it had nothing to do with the Beatles.
Oh, well, so?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a surprise.
I mean, can't they change it up a little bit?
You know what the number two song was on that list?
No.
Dig a Pony.
Dig a Pony.
Which is actually one of my most favorite songs from the Let It Be album. He said it was just garbage.
Oh.
He said it was a nonsense song that was just garbage. It wouldn't made to make any sense. It was just a bunch of words thrown together, and it was garbage.
Oh, see, like, the only Pony song I like is that one, Salt and Pepper, I think, does. Ride it, that pony.
I don't think we need that. No.
Dang.
No. I remember I used to tell girls that I was hung like a horse, and then they were surprised when they found out it was My Little Pony.
Oh, you poor thing.
Now, I'll throw this in there. What do you think were some of his favorites? He didn't actually have a favorite song, but he had five that he listed that was his favorites.
I would say, oh, what's the name of that song? There's No Heaven.
No, that wasn't on there.
Oh.
I think he was talking about just strictly Beatles songs at this point.
Well, that was not.
That was a solo song.
Oh.
That was Imagine.
How about The Yellow Submarine?
Absolutely not. That's one of the worst songs I ever did, and he would never pick that as one of his
favorites. Oh, his favorites. I'm sorry.
Favorites.
That's my bad.
Yeah, now we're on favorites.
I would say something about the
Okay, how about I just read you the answers?
I guess I don't know.
How about we do that?
That failed the test. I told you I was going to.
I am the Walrus.
Oh, yeah. I know that
Strawberry
song.
Fields.
Yeah.
In My Life, Across the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
And Help.
Oh, yeah.
Were the five songs that he said was his favorite because he said they were all real.
And I love every one of those songs, but you put me on the spot.
I know. And I'm sure it was very painful for the listeners.
Sorry, guys. I did my best.
With that being said, let's jump right into the topic. We're talking about Ouija boards. And like I said, we were going to do this before and we got off subject and did a whole show on The Exorcist. And now it's taken us several weeks because I think it's been about 10 weeks now because that was episode 13.
Yeah.
And now we're going to jump into this. Now, everybody knows what a Ouija board is. We've all seen them. But we thought we would talk a little bit about the origin. Where did it come from? Why was it created? And just some other stuff that you may not have ever heard about a Ouija board. So, here we go. It was actually created in 1894. And you know what that little thing you put your hand on that looks like a heart? You know what that's called?
No.
It's called a planchette.
A planchette.
Planchette.
A planchette.
Yeah. And the first actual talk of spirit boards, we're going to say, was in China, 1100 AD. They would do the automatic writing. And remember we talked before in the music one about automatic writing is basically somebody just giving you the message and yeah. You just, you know, you didn't really use your own thought. You were just like, I guess you could say the article being used to write down the thought or what have you.
Yeah.
So spirit boards became really popular back during the spiritualist movement, which is in the late 1800s. I mean, it was something that was really accepted all around. A lot of mediums and stuff would try to contact others, but they didn't have spirit boards at the time. What they had was basically, you know, they would count out letters A, B, C, and then if something happened in the room, they would think, okay, that's the letter they need. And that's how they had to do it.
Oh, but they didn't realize the deepness of what would happen if that really...
No, I don't guess.
I guess back in that day.
No, or the other thing they would do is they'd write down a question on a piece of paper and just wait. And then hope something came through, and then they would just write down the answer.
Oh.
And, you know, right around the Civil War time, there was a lot of death, and families were really wanting to try to contact people. And the Kennard Novelty Company thought they could see a way where they could make some money, so they came up with this spirit board. And it had the letters on it and all that stuff, so mm-hmm. they thought this is something the mediums could use.
Right.
And be a whole lot, simplify the whole process. So that's how it came to be. What they did was they had come up with a name with it. The story goes that they asked the board. They sat down and actually played with the board and asked what its name was. And it spelled out O-U-I-J-A.
Okay.
Awesome. That's what it's supposed to be. So they took this to the patent office. And when they took it to the patent office to get a patent, you got to prove something works.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they going to prove that it works? The guy that was giving the patents out, he said, well, have it spell out my name. Because they didn't know what his name was. And the board did.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's how they got the patent.
Ooh.
Elijah Bond, not James Bond, but Elijah Bond.
Mm-hmm.
He had the patent. William Fuld, F-U-L-D. He took over the patent in 1901. So about 10 years is when Elijah Bond had it. And then Fuld had it until 1927 when he died. His family kept it and eventually sold it to Parker Brothers in 1966.
But why did Elijah get it? Why did he get rid of it?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So, how about that?
Okay. That's a good enough answer.
So, Parker Brothers sold it in 1966, or they had it in 66. They sold it to Hasbro in 91, and Hasbro's had it ever since, and they're still making Ouija boards. You know, we said the Kennard Novelty Company wanted to make some money, and they did. This thing, from the time they put it out, it took off. It boomed. Even during the Great Depression, when, you know, nothing was working, people had Ouija boards. From the 20s to the 60s is when this thing was the most popular. There was a bunch of famous people that claimed that they've used a Ouija board to create some of their memorable works, some of which is Sylvia Plath, who wrote Dialogue. That's actually a book, not just, you know, talk back and forth. She just writes, hey, how are you today?
Hell yeah.
But she wrote Dialogue in 1957. She said she wrote it over the whole thing, that she just would ask its questions and it would come up.
She would ask the Ouija board questions?
Yeah, she was asking
and
she said it basically just talked straight through her and she just wrote down what it told her.
Oh, golly.
Yep. And she wrote a poem later about the whole thing. And then after Eastern Airlines Flight 401 crashed in the Everglades in 72, John Fuller wrote a book called The Ghost of Flight 401 because everybody was seeing the ghosts and what have you from this. They think what happened was there was some of the parts of the plane that was salvageable, and they used it in the only other plane that was the same type. So if they could use it, they reused it, and I think that's what caused the ghost to start appearing like on this other plane.
Wow. That's creepy.
But supposedly this guy who wrote a book about it, he used a medium and a Ouija board to contact the spirits to write his book. Mm-hmm. And then you had James Merrill. He was a Pulitzer Prize winner poet. He wrote The Changing Light at Sandover in 1982. It's a 560-page book. So it's a huge book.
Dang. Ouija must have had a lot to say. Yep.
He claims that he used that, and even the Archangel Michael helped him write that book. Here's one for you. Here's a fun one. Let's tie some music to it. Alice Cooper claims that he got his stage name from using a Ouija board.
Really?
He says he consulted the board, which told him he was the reincarnation of a 17th century witch named Alice Cooper. He adopted the name of his own, and there you go.
No kidding.
Yep. You know what Alice Cooper's real name is?
What?
Vincent Furnier. I don't think it would have been near as popular.
No.
But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. I thought this one was kind of cool. In 1917, Emily Grant Hutchins wrote a book called Jap Heron, and she says that she used the Ouija board, and Mark Twain actually gave her this book.
What?
Mark Twain was the one talking to her.
Man, that would be kind of cool, don't you think?
I mean, you would think if that's actually the truth, but I mean, yeah, there's a bunch more things like that happened. Another music, there's a band called the Mars Volta. They said they wrote an entire album around the Ouija board. So just a session with them, just gave them all the songs. So, I mean, whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it, there's obviously some cool stuff.
Yeah, sounds like.
Going on with the Ouija board stuff.
That would have been helpful in school.
Yeah.
When you had to write these essays or on history or something. And
yeah, but I'm pretty sure, though, if you had that out on your desk, the teacher would know you was cheating.
Well, I wouldn't have it out on my desk.
It's like one time I was copying a paper from another student, and I got caught like that. I think the copy machine is... She heard the sound of the copy machine is what gave it away.
Well, you're dumb.
Probably. She told me I was going to have to repeat fifth grade. I'm like, I don't know if I could do it exactly, but I'll give it a shot. The funny thing was that with Ouija board, it was never considered an evil or dangerous thing until 1973. What do you think happened in 1973 to change that?
I guess a spirit came out and said, hey.
Well, that's... Spirit would be William Peter Blatty when he wrote The Exorcist.
William Peter Blatty. What kind of a name is that? William Peter Blatty. Oh, no. I'm going to make a song about it now. I'll sing it to y'all next time.
Yeah. You got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, The Exorcist came out. And once came out in 73, the spiritualist movement kind of started dying in the 60s. So I think the Ouija board thing kind of went down. I mean, I'll be honest. I think Parker Brothers back then, it was still Parker Brothers back then. I'm sure they were pretty happy when that movie came out. I don't know if that hurt them or if that helped them.
Well, I was going to say, I can see it maybe helping them for sales, but I would think there'd be a lot of protesters be like, get that dang game off the shelf.
It'd been interesting. I should have probably tried to look that up to see if sales plummeted or actually increased because of that. Now, we've talked a little bit about Zozo before, which is a demon. Remember we talked about Jimmy Page using his logo, Zozo, which is not exactly the same, but similar. Now, some people say that that is an astrological sign for Saturn, which is his, Saturn is, which one's Saturn? Is it Sagittarius or, I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is I'm a crab. That's all I know.
I can vouch for that on several occasions.
Oh, what are you?
Leo.
Oh.
Last day of Leo. So I'm a lion, just barely.
So you're barely a lion?
I'm just a kitten. Anyways, so let's get back on Zozo, demon.
But first, a quick break from our sponsor.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Well, a lot of people claim to have had problems, the main demon coming from being Zoso. Some say it's an ancient force from hell. Some say it's just, you know, satanic. Some people say it's a shapeshifter that can turn into a raven. It really started becoming popular in 2009. Why? Because a guy named Darren Evans from Oklahoma, he posted on one of these true ghost stories type websites that he had all these experiences dating back from the 80s. He says, for example, that he went on the Ouija board and he asked where paradise was, and it spelled out hell.
What?
That's what he says.
Oh, liar.
He also says that his daughter had two near-death experiences where she almost drowned in a bathtub, and then had another situation where she had some kind of infection, and she was in the hospital for like almost 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he blames both of those on that. He says it all had to do with this demon.
Mm-hmm.
So he started a website. He was claiming to be some Zozo demonologist or, you know, some kind of expert on it.
I'm sorry. I just can't take the word Zozo seriously. Serious. I mean, that's not devil-like.
Well, some people say just by saying his name, you can bring it on. So we'll see how serious you take it.
Oh, okay. I won't say it again.
So he started that website. Then he was contacted by a place called One World Studios. They wanted to use his experiences to make a movie, and they did. It was called I Am Zoso, and it was in 2012. In 2014, Ghost Adventures came out there. And at that point in time, Zach and him was asking him these questions. It was at his ranch out in Oklahoma. And he started kind of changing some story a little bit. He first says now that his daughter went blind for like an hour. That Zoso made that happen. Then in 2016, he starts writing a book, called The Zoso Phenomenon. Now, the funny thing about the book, he does an interview right before the book comes out, and he says that he found a Ouija board out underneath of his girlfriend's house. I don't know what he's doing underneath there, but he found a Ouija board, but where it said Ouija on the original board, it said Zoso.
What?
Yeah. Then the book comes out. He says when the book comes out, he changes the story. He says that it says Ouija, but on the back, like carved in it, it had Zoso, and it had the same logo as like the Jimmy Page logo. It's the same type of Z and all that, just written in that same way. So this guy's changed his story numerous times. Now, when Zach and him was out there, he didn't mention anything about the Ouija board. He's never had a picture of it. Matter of fact, in the book, he's got a drawing that he drew. That shows the front and it shows the back of what it was designed to be. So it sounds like this guy's just a compulsive liar.
Yeah, I say Phil better get his story straight.
So people are saying, well, this Zoso phenomenon is fake. It's you know, because there really is no, if you look on the internet and start looking at Google search, there was no searching for this until 2009. Before that, nobody ever searched it. I mean, literally nobody.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, but there's people saying that they've had it. And the Zoso was first mentioned in a book, a French dictionary called Dictionnaire Infernal in 1818, there was a girl that she was going to claim she was possessed. Not really possessed. Well, she said she was possessed by three demons, one of which was Zoso.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first mention of Zoso, and that was in 1818. But this book makes it sound like that she said that, but there was no actual Zoso. She was pretending the whole time, and she ended up getting beat out in public. Like a public caning or something for pretending to be possessed.
But why would you even do that? I mean, I don't think, how could she think anything good was going to come of that?
Attention whore.
Oh, well.
I mean, she's an attention whore. I wouldn't say an attention whore. I wouldn't say it like I was calling you a whore.
Well,
I didn't want you to take it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be fun to do this. I thought, since most people have probably never played with a Ouija board, I wanted to actually tell the rules and everything you're supposed to do with a Ouija board.
But nobody do it.
Yeah, nobody do it unless you just want to. Now, I'll be honest. Most of the stuff we talk about, I'm not going to say I believe or don't believe. I'm just going to say I present to you what I find in my research, and I let you make your own decisions. So if I say, oh, Led Zeppelin did this and Led Zeppelin did that, I don't necessarily 100% always buy into it. I mean, I'm going to listen to Led Zeppelin regardless of what this or what that was said. I mean, it's just the way I am. Some of this stuff I find hard to believe, and some of it I just find really interesting. So, you know, don't think that everything we talk about in here is 100% buy-in. But I will tell you this. I do 100% believe you are not supposed to play with a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
I've had experiences in my past. I'm not going to discuss them. That's one of the few things that I don't discuss because I just don't like discussing it.
It's because he's bald. That's why he's bald.
But I can tell you, it's something that I did. The last time I did it, I was about 17 years old, had some bad experiences, two bad experiences, and I will never do it again. So that goes back. I'm 48 now, so that's 31 years ago, and I still won't get around one. I won't be in. If there's a Ouija board in the house and somebody's going to play it and I'm anywhere near, I will leave. So
yeah, you have to tell me that. Will you tell me?
No. It's private.
Oh. What do you mean?
I mean, if I'm not going to tell them that, why would I tell you?
I don't know, but now I'm going to bug you about it.
So let's do this. Let's pretend that everybody's got their Ouija board. So everybody hold hands. Now sing Kumbaya. That's not part of it. I made that up.
Thank so, God.
Here's the actual rules and what you're supposed to do to have an effective session. First of all, you never make fun of the game. You don't make fun of, you don't be sarcastic about it. You don't doubt it. You can look at it as a game and it's sold as a game. This is not a game. Some people will tell you that this thing, if you use it the right way, is a very good tool and have never had a bad experience. Then there's other people that will tell you, and we're going to discuss one of those after this, that will tell you it is a horrible thing and you should never do it.
So if it's saying something to you and you're like, bitch, please, like, you don't believe it?
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
That's a bad thing.
That's a bad thing.
Okay.
You're always, okay, so let's cover the rules. The first thing you want to do is have an open mind.
Oh, yeah, you have to have an open mind.
You also need to have good intentions. So you're not looking to put a curse on somebody or find out something bad, or you're using this for just knowledge. No secrecy.
What do you mean?
I mean that if me and you are sitting down at the board and I'm going to ask a question about something, it needs to be something I've openly discussed with you beforehand. Oh. I need to say, hey, I'm going to ask Aunt Jill, you know, about... You know,
okay.
my inheritance or my life or what's going to happen. It just basically means I can't be, if I'm trying to hide something
right.
and you don't know about it, we're not going to get the same effect. We need the double power on it. You need to make sure the people that you're with are trustworthy. You don't want anybody that's going to secretly try to move the planchette around or what have you, or force it to go to one. You want to know that everybody is in there for the same reason. So... Sit there, everybody concentrate on what you want, and you go from there. If you can, get your board blessed by a priest. That'll help keep evil spirits from coming through. And priests will do that. They don't like to because they don't like Ouija. Most priests, Catholic priests, will tell you to stay away from it. It's not a good thing. But if you get it blessed, even if it's through like a witch doctor or something, I don't know of any of those, but... My friend Alvin and Simon and Theodore can point you. you remember that song?
I do. Witch doctor, you know me what to do. He said, ding, dang, ding, 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 dong.
Yeah, I think it went a little different than that, but it was close. It was close. I'll give you an A for effort. It was a lot better than you did on the Beatle music. Never play with one person. That's probably the biggest rule that I'll tell you. One person, you're setting yourself up for a problem.
Why?
Because two people can control... What happens, it's just like anything else. One-on-one, spirits can overtake you, and you don't have that backup. Two people, you have the power of mind control of two people, and let's say something was to try to take over, you got somebody there that's got your back that can kind of jump in.
Yeah, I'd really want to do it by myself. Yeah.
When you're by yourself, you have no control over that. Now, the setting needs to be at a place you're comfortable with. You want to kind of, you know... You don't necessarily want to go to a graveyard or something if you feel creeped out and do it. I mean, if you're completely at home at a graveyard and that doesn't bother you, but if you feel kind of creeped out, you don't want to do it. If you're over somebody's house you're not 100% comfortable with, don't participate. You want to kind of just do it in the surroundings that's calm and peaceful to you.
Okay.
So you get your table out, you put the board in the center of where everybody is. Now, there's no limit as to how many people you can have. You can have as little as two, and you can have as many as, you know, hands can fit on the planchard, but you want to make it comfortable. I've seen up to 6-7 people do it. Usually it's 3 or 4 people to get a good comfort zone. You, like I said, put it in the middle of whoever's going to be doing it, and then put a candle. It can be a cheap candle. I wouldn't suggest like these big tapered candles, but like a tea light or a small, what do you call those little candles? Votives.
Mm-hmm.
Put one of those beside each side of it. Not from top to bottom, but just on the side. That'll help give you a little bit of light. You also want to have a candle sitting behind whoever is participating.
Each person?
Each person.
Oh, okay.
You want to have the board blocked in. Like, even if it's just two of you, you still want to put two candles out, two behind you, one of each behind you and the other person, and then two where two people would be to make a square, to have the board kind of trapped in. Mm-hmm. It'll help provide light, but it also, it helps the spirit situation.
What about salt?
Well, if these demons or what have you have high blood pressure, that could really be deadly to them. So I wouldn't.
Okay. I thought I saw that somewhere where if you sprinkle salt around the area, that's supposed to keep demons out too.
Well, I'm sure that's probably the case because salt is used in a lot of rituals. So that's probably is the case. I just didn't see that in my research. Now we're going to turn off all the lights, all the electricity, especially cell phones. Cell phones have a tendency to interfere because spirits and demons, what have you, either one, are going to be electric, magnetic, activity. Mm-hmm. And cell phones tend to mess with that. Just that's the same reason your cell phones don't work good in the hospital, because it interferes with the merchandise. Everyone needs to clear their mind. And then everybody needs to chant, "Ouija, are you there?" You know, first time I heard it, I was thinking it was like George Jefferson. Ouija! Because I thought that's what he used to call his wife. Because I thought her name, when I watched that back in the day, I thought her name was Ouija. And it took me forever to realize that her name was Wheezy.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, who the hell, why would you call your wife Wheezy? I mean, if she's like a real bad asthmatic or something. But you, it just don't seem normal to just call somebody Wheezy. That don't sound comforting. Anyway, so you all sit around and you chant, "Ouija, are you there?" Eventually, the planchette should move on its own to the yes. Now the board's open, and you can start asking questions. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to somebody specific, you have to say that up front. You know, "I'm looking for Aunt Jill. I'm looking for Uncle Tommy." Mm-hmm. If not, there's no telling. So you get now, when you start getting answers, the first thing you need to do is you need to say, "Are you a good spirit?" Now, on the left of the Ouija board at the top, you have a sun. On the top right, you have a moon. Now, the sun is yes. The moon is no. If it goes to the sun, you've got a good spirit. If it goes to the moon, it's not a good spirit.
So can you, like, if you don't specify who you want to come forward, can then a bunch of spirits just come forward?
Well, they can. And the problem with that is you don't know who you're getting at first. So you need to make sure you're getting the one you want to speak to. And you need to make sure you're getting a good one. Because if you're not looking for anybody specific, yeah, you could get anybody come through. But you're not going to have more than come through at once. One's going to come through.
Oh.
And then, if you don't like the one you got, like if it says it's a bad one, then you need to say goodbye until the planchette goes to the goodbye at the very bottom of the screen. That's how you close out the board.
Get out of here.
Yep.
So what if they don't want to go?
They'll go if you keep saying goodbye. So they don't have that power.
Bye,
to stay.
Felicia.
Jail.
So
that's what it should say at the bottom. Goodbye, Felicia. Ninja has some strong thoughts on this. Unfortunately, he's on next week's show, so he has to save his voice. The other thing is, when you get through, be respectful to whatever spirit you're talking to.
Right.
Ask its questions, get your answers. When you're done, you want to thank the spirit, and then you need to say goodbye. Once is probably enough, but you'll notice the planchette moved to the goodbye, and the board is closed. You never, ever play this game without closing the board. You don't close the board, whatever you let through can stay through.
Is that what happened to you?
That's not what happened to me.
Okay.
No. But I appreciate your trying to find out, even though we said we weren't going to talk about it.
I know, but now I'm so curious. You know, I got to know this.
If only you were back curious.
Oh, well.
That would be hot. Anyways.
Get back on the subject, yo.
So you got to close the boards out. That's probably the most important thing. Close it out, because anything that comes through can stay through. And we don't want to do that.
Like it can stay through forever?
It can stay through. It can cause all kinds of havoc. If anybody's seen the movie Ouija board, all those Ouija board movies, that's what some of that stuff is really based on. It's based on spirits that come through and they stay through. You know, it's been accounted in history, this type of history. I mean, it's not like in the history books, but there's been several cases where people have summoned something and they don't close it. We talked about it with Aleister Crowley. He mm-hmm. summoned the demons, even though it wasn't a Ouija board. He summoned the demons and he didn't close out the spell. And you know, it basically...
Oh, that's still stupid. That's what he gets.
Yeah,
well, that story just irks me. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, how you gonna do all that work for 6 months and then take off and leave? And...
Yeah, but he only did it for a couple months. He didn't do the whole 6 months.
Well, he's dumb. That's what he gets.
Now, I told you I was going to read y'all a story that a listener said, and Nadia sent this in, and I thought this was pretty candid on her, and I'm glad she did it. And I asked her if I could read it on the air, and she said, sure, because hopefully it would stop somebody from playing with a Ouija board.
Mm.
Now, she says she's got several stories, but I'll tell you one, the one that made me stop using it. I was already married with one child, but I had questions, and the board always used to give me great answers. This time, though, it told me I was soon going to be with child, and it would be a boy. But then it started moving more aggressively, and it said the child would be mine, as if the spirit was saying it was going to be his child.
Eee.
She said, I got scared. I stopped playing. Just a couple of weeks later, I found out that I was pregnant. I was completely scared that this spirit or demon would come after my child. I ended up losing the baby at Aww. 12 weeks at the clinic where I was seen because I was bleeding badly. The doctor had referred me here. They told me I would have had a boy. I don't know if that is what was meant by he would be mine or something else, but I never played again.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry.
So I appreciate Nadia sharing that story, because yeah. I know that's probably a difficult story to tell.
Yeah, that's awful.
But, you know, it's like I said, everybody's got their opinion. I know plenty of people that think it's a game and thinks it's harmless. And I know plenty of people. There was a guy I went to school with. His name was Andy. And he would not. This was high school. And the first time I ever actually participated in this was a New Year's Eve party. And it was with an ex-girlfriend of mine, and this guy, Andy, who lived in the neighborhood, he came to the party, and as soon as he found out there was a Ouija board, he left. Just said, it's trouble, it's bad news, I could tell you some stuff, and he just left. So I never found out what the story was, but, you know, I found out later my own problems with it, and, you know, it's a strange thing, it's a strange case to deal with. I don't advise anybody to play with them. A lot of really religious people will tell you not to play with them because you really never know who you're talking to. You can think it's Aunt Betty or Uncle Steve, and in reality, it could be, you
Aunt
know.
Aunt Steve.
It could be Uncle Aunt Betty. Steve.
But, that was funny, right?
Yeah. Nothing like transgendered spirits.
Thanks.
But, you know, it these things like to play tricks on you. They like to say that they're a relative to gain your trust, and it can be anybody. They're just wanting in.
Man, that is so creepy. I mean, I've always heard of the Ouija board and never even really thought about it that much. But when you start telling me all this stuff, I don't know.
That's freaky.
I can't believe they still have them on the shelves. They still sell them.
Well, it's, like I said, yeah, they're still making them to this day. So it's amazing that, I don't know. It's a scary subject for me. It's one I really don't like talking about, but you know, we got an obligation if people want to hear about it. And we've had several listeners say they want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. So
I'll stick to Monopoly.
Yeah.
Just saying. Or Chutes and Ladder.
Yeah, that's the only way we're ever going to own a hotel.
Oh. Well, you don't have faith.
I have faith. I'm not buying a hotel.
Well, I don't want to buy no hotel.
I mean, those things are green anyway. Who the hell has a green
hotel?
No, wait a minute. Is the hotel green or red? The houses were green, right?
Oh, I don't even know. I really don't even pay Monopoly that much.
Oh. So... anyways, guys, we appreciate you listening. This has been the little bit that we got on this. Next week, you're in for a treat.
Woo-hoo!
Because we're doing our third episode of Rock and Roll in the Occult.
Yes.
I got some fun stuff for you.
Isn't Ricky here that time?
Ricky is going to be here, so it'll be all three of us.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be kind of fun. And like I said, everybody keeps asking when we're going to do more music ones. And like I said, we've got more coming up. I'll spread them out. But we'll probably try to do like one a month, something like mm-hmm. that.
I would love that because, man, I have been, if finding out so much good stuff. And now every time I hear these songs we talk about, that's all I can think about.
Some of these acts that you think are like some of the most wholesome, there's no way anything could ever happen. You'd be surprised. Like I said, it not necessarily that I believe everything, but these things are out there. And a lot of these come from actual interviews. I mean, I'll share something with you that will surprise a lot of people. How many people out there obviously have heard George Harrison's song, My Sweet Lord?
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I mean, My Sweet Lord, what would you think it's about? You would think, obviously, it's about My Sweet Lord. In an interview George did, and I've actually heard this interview, and I don't have it word for word down, but if you remember the song, you know, he's in the background, it's My Sweet Lord, and then it starts off with Hallelujah. 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 Well, eventually that changes to Hare Krishna.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And George Harrison actually said that was the intention. He said, see, you get them going, you get them listening to this, and then you switch it over, and by that time, they're already invested in the song, and they listen. Well, Hare Krishna is not a good thing. Hare Krishna is more of an evil type situation. It's used over in, like, the Hindus and what have you use it, but Hare Krishna is not a God-type thing. It's more of an evil-type thing. And that song switches from Hallelujah to Hare Krishna, and George Harrison openly says that was the intention. Was to get you listening one way and switch it.
I don't like that.
So we'll get it when we go into, it won't be on next week's show, but when we do some of our Beatles stuff, which sadly, I'm the biggest Beatles fan there is, and there's still stuff out there. I'm going to tie some stuff with the Stones and the Beatles to Aleister Crowley, and I think you're going to be surprised at some of this stuff. And like I said last week, we're going to do a whole episode on Elvis that's going to blow people away.
Look, just don't ever tell me anything bad about Andy Griffith, or it's over. Don't
Man,
ever.
I hate to tell you this.
You don't ever tell me that.
Opie was a huge Antoine LaVey follower. So he was, and I heard that he, in secret, he was giving it to Aunt B.
Oh, stop.
I don't know that that's true.
Yeah, you're sick.
I might have made that up.
I think you did. You're sicko.
So, anyways, guys, we thank you so much for listening. Once again, follow us on Twitter. It's Hillbilly Horror. And please go to our YouTube page, Hillbilly Horror Story, and watch our video we just put out. It's called, what was it, Seven Gates of Hell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's every Wednesday night we're going to put this out. So go subscribe to the YouTube page, and you'll see when it comes out. But it's for shorts and giggles.
Yeah, shorts and giggles.
Yep.
So, see, I said it right that time.
Yes, you did. Guys, we love you. And like I said, this has been another great week for us. You guys keep making it happen, and we'll keep trying our best to put out the best shows for us. Join us next week. Like I said, Rock and Roll and the Occult Part 3, and it's going to be a secret to who we have on the show. But I think you'll like all the things that we discuss on
that
one.
I'm excited. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you guys.
Adios, amigo, because we got a couple of Hispanic listeners now, like Ricky didn't think we would, but I've heard from them now, so I know they exist.
Uno, dos, tres. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's the extent.
Oh, wait. Hola, ¿cómo está?
Okay. What does that mean, though?
That means, hi, how are you? I know that.
Awesome. Well, we can at least introduce ourselves if we go to Mexico.
That's probably about it. But we appreciate everybody listening. Again, you guys have a wonderful work week, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Later, guys.